The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
Driving up here and seeing the rice fields, it occurred to me that probably some of you are farmers. Any of you all farmers here? Okay. Well, I spent the summer of 1972, I was 18 at the time, working on a farm outside my hometown, which is Ponca City, Oklahoma, a town in northern Oklahoma, about 20 miles from the Kansas line. And disking and plowing, that was okay. We had a good radio on the tractor. It was hot and dusty, but when it came to hauling hay and stacking it in the barn, in the loft of the barn, square bales, a barn that was a lot hotter and dustier than it was out in the field, well, that was the most physically demanding work I've ever done. And you know, in Jesus' time, farming was even harder. They didn't have mechanized equipment, and the climate there is even hotter and dustier than here. Moreover, in those days, they didn't have farmers' co-ops. You couldn't go down and buy the seed for planting. You set aside the best grain of each year's crop to then be planted in the next. Meaning that a lot of a farmer's back-breaking work simply just got put back into the ground. There were no weed killers either. Weeds were pulled by hand. Nor was there any crop insurance or government disaster money in case of drought or fire or floods or storms, or even in the case of vandalism, as we see in today's gospel, sabotage by enemies. Have you ever wondered where the bad guy in this parable got a hold of those weed seeds that he planted among his neighbor's wheat? You can't go buy weed seed at the store. There's no market for weed seed. He must have harvested those weed seeds himself the previous year. So he's been planning this revenge for a long time. He had to invest just as much work harvesting those weed seeds as he would have had to do if it were good grain. And then he had to take time away from working his own field in order to go over there and do harm to his neighbor. Notice how much effort he invested in doing evil. This was not done on impulse. It was cold-blooded, premeditated evil. Not all mortal sins are premeditated, but as one of my seminary professors once said, you don't commit mortal sins by accident. It takes energy to commit really big sins, at least the first time or two you commit them, until you get accustomed to it. The enemy in today's gospel invested as much energy in trying to produce a bad crop for his neighbor as it would have taken to produce a good crop for himself. And notice how the wise farmer responds. He judges that in this particular case, it is most prudent not to retaliate, just to leave it be. He doesn't even take the guy to court. He simply lets the weeds grow for now, lest he damage the wheat in a premature attempt to eradicate the weeds. Harvest that year is going to be twice as much work as usual, but it can't be helped. What Jesus is saying here is that among his followers, there will always be weeds among the wheat. I am a sinner. Your deacon is a sinner. Your organist is a sinner. Every one of us is a sinner. Moreover, every place I go to, little places and big places, there are hypocrites there in every church. And most of the, or people that, you know, you just have to kind of put up with sometimes. But unlike in today's gospel, where only material loss is at stake, a bad harvest, but no one really gets hurt, it's just a bad harvest, sometimes the human damage done by evil is so severe that it would be imprudent, indeed negligent, not to step in and pull out those most dangerous weeds by the roots. And as a bishop, I can tell you that that is always an unpleasant but sometimes necessary task. As I'm sure you're aware of in the great evil of clergy sexual abuse. Some things you just can't let be. Okay? This is by far the most difficult thing I have to do as a bishop. But I'm responsible for protecting the flock from wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. So I'm thankful that 99% of the time, or 99.9% of the time, most matters, prudence requires me, and probably in your life too, just to kind of be patient. God can bring good out of evil. And anyway, he's the one who's going to sort it all out in the end. In the meantime, there will always be a certain amount of brokenness in our own personal lives, and in our own families, in our own communities, that we just sort of have to put up with, including, maybe especially, inside ourselves. As we pray in the Serenity Prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.